You know, we mentioned that we're celebrating our 25th anniversary today. There's been lots of changes in 25 years. I have been to 24 of the, this is my 24th celebration. I missed one. I missed the first one. I was just the interim pastor then, and if I remember right, I had something to do, and they got somebody to come in and preach that first anniversary. But the other 23, and then today is the 24th. I have been here, and there have been a lot of changes that have occurred in our church over the past 25 years. And just so you can get a feel for that, I would like for you to go back to February of 1987 and think about your life 25 years ago and think about the changes that have transpired in your life the past 25 years. And again, just let your mind just dwell on that thought just for a second, and then I want you to come back and pay attention to me. But just think about everything. I mean, there's some people in the room that weren't even born 25 years ago. There's some people in the room that were just real little kids 25 years ago. And they have since grown up, got married, have children of their own. Many of us have welcomed grandchildren in the last 25 years. People have changed jobs. People have moved. We've lost a lot of loved ones in the past 25 years. We've gained weight, lost weight, gained it back, lost a few hairs. And the same thing, as you think about all the changes that have occurred in your life in the past 25 years, I will tell you there's probably been that many changes that have occurred in our church over the past 25 years. The content of our congregation has changed. The meeting place has changed. We started out meeting in the Masonic Temple in downtown Clio, and then the Lord gave us this building. And the leaders that we've had in Sunday school and in church have changed over the past 25 years. But this morning, I don't want to talk about the things that have changed. I want to talk about and point out to you the things that are the same. As I've mentioned, this is my 24th church anniversary, and I have preached a message like this on six of those occasions. Six different anniversary Sundays the last 24 years, where I have stood before our church and I have proclaimed to you the things that have not changed from the day we started 25 years ago. And so, again, I bring a similar type message. No two of my messages are exactly the same. Some of the points are the same, but this is a new message. And again, I want to just point out to you real quickly this morning some things that have not changed. And in the midst of everything that has changed, some things that have not changed for 25 years. The first one is God hasn't changed. God has not changed. In Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And the same God that a small group of people wanted to worship 25 years ago that started this church is the same God that we worship today. He is still omnipotent. He is still all-powerful. I talked to the kids in Sunday school this morning about creation. And the things God made by His Word. I mean, there was only one thing that He created in those first 6 days that He used something else to make, and that was Adam when He used the dust of the ground. Everything else He spoke into existence. And I made the point, if God's voice is so powerful, if His Word is so powerful that He created the world with it, then we ought to pay attention to the words that we have today. But God hasn't changed. He's still omnipotent. He's still omniscient. He still is present everywhere. And He has not changed. He still loves us as much today as He did 25 years ago. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old, saying unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And the same God who has not changed loves us with the same love that He did 25 years ago today. John 3:16 25 years ago, we read it and we said, "For God so loved the world." I want to tell you, 25 years later, although the world is a more wicked place than it was in February of 1987, our God hasn't changed, and He still loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die in our place. And so, and by the way, He still hates sin as much as He did in February of 1987. And again, the world has created new ways to sin. And we've come up with new ways to sin. But I want to tell you something. It hasn't changed the way that God feels about sin. He still hates sin as much as He did 25 years ago. And so our God hasn't changed. Number two, His Word hasn't changed. This book hasn't changed in 25 years. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that? There's been a Bible of the month for the past 2 or 3 years. I mean, every publishing house. I mean, this is still remains the bestseller. Doesn't surprise me that new versions of the Bible are published often. But 25 years ago, when I preached my first sermon in Fellowship Baptist Church in April of 1987. The church was going a couple months before I came. And the second sermon I preached, because I wanted folks to know what they were getting in me. The second sermon I preached, I held up my Bible. Now, this is not exactly the same Bible that I had. I mean, I've had several new ones. I wear them out when I hit them like this, so I got to buy me new ones. But this book, the King James Bible, is the same Bible that I preached from 25 years ago. It's the only Bible that I preached from in this place. And God willing, it will be the only Bible that's ever preached from this pulpit. I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I believe the Bible in the original text that God told Moses and Paul and the others that wrote the Bible the exact words to write. I believe in the year 1611 when King James put those men together to translate and come with an English-speaking Bible that God preserved His Word. He didn't inspire it the same way as He did the original, but He preserved and oversaw the translation so that I believe I have in my hand with the King James Bible and English Bible the very words that God wants me to have. The Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God would not put a verse like that in the Bible unless He gave us a book that had His very words. And again, I believe that in this Bible, I have His words that He wants me to live by. And if He created everything that we see and everything in the world by His word, I'll ask the same question to you I asked the kids this morning. Don't you think we should pay attention to what God says in this book? I do. Let me just say one more thing. You know, all these different translations that when they're published, they come out and said, "Well, this will help you understand the Bible better. This will help you get deeper into God's Word." Then tell me, why is every new translation copyrighted? Why is this one not? New translations are not so that you can understand the Bible better. They're so that they can get your money. I don't mean to offend anybody, but hey, this is 25 years. If you put up with me this long, just hang on. All those new translations are out there to get your money. I've had people say to me over the years, "I have a tough time understanding this book." And I always go back to them and say, "Why don't you just read it? And why don't you talk to the one that wrote it and ask him to help you understand it?" They say, "Well, we got all those these and thous and shouts and hast and all those other things." You know, I like it when I'm typing Bible verses in my computer and the spell check comes up and they said, "You spelled that word wrong." And I want to just shake it. I said, "No, I didn't. This is how it's written right here. You're wrong, not this book." And so the Word of God hasn't changed. Number three, God's promise to this church hasn't changed. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus made a promise to every church that belongs to Him. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to tell you something this morning. I want to remind you about something this morning. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It does not belong to me. It does not belong to the deacons and trustees. It does not belong to any association. It does not belong to any convention. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. And he says, my church I will protect. My church I will defend. My church, all the attacks that come against it from within and without, I will defend it. I will protect it. I will preserve it. And this morning, just like it was true 25 years ago today, Fellowship Baptist Church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his church. Number four, God's commission to this church hasn't changed. The same commission that he gave us 25 years ago, the same orders that we marched to 25 years ago, are the same orders that we march to today. He says in Matthew 4:19, the verse that we're using as our theme verse for the whole year, and we're changing the theme every month. But he says in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. In Matthew 28, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. 25 years ago, that was our commission. 25 years ago, that were our orders. To go into Clio, to go into Montrose, to go into Birch Run, to go into Flint, to go into every city that's around this place and tell boys and girls and men and women about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. That hasn't changed. That is still our marching orders. That is still our commission. God has put us here to reach out to other people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. And then number five, and by the way, I only have 6 points, so don't worry about the time. We'll still get out in time for lunch and won't spend too much time. Number five, our fellowship hasn't changed. You know, early on, we were a church that liked to fellowship. I sort of think people had that in mind when they picked the name for our church. We like to fellowship, and we will fellowship at the drop of a hat. I mean, we'll fellowship for Valentine's Day. We'll fellowship for St. Patrick's Day. We'll fellowship for Memorial Day and the 4th of July and Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll fellowship. Well, we fellowship when school's out. We fellowship when school starts back. Sometimes we just fellowship to fellowship. These, you know, these fifth Sunday night sings that we have where we get people to sing and we have sandwiches every fifth Sunday. Now, some of you that have been around for a while, I mean, I can look at my own stomach and know that this is a church that likes to fellowship. And you know what? It hasn't changed. And one of the things that people, new people that come to our church tell me over and over and over and over, and I don't ask, they just tell me. They say, you have one of the most friendly churches I've ever been to. I come in, 10 or 15, 20 people shake my hand. They say, I'm a stranger, and I got a little old lady that hugs me. She don't even know me. She just hugs me anyway, Helen. She just hugs me anyway. And they said, you have one of the most loving churches they've been in. I mean, I've had people tell me, I've gone to church and there hadn't been anybody speak to me. I went there 4 weeks in a row. I had somebody tell me this week, went to a church 4 weeks in a row, nobody talked to me. Not even the pastor. Nobody talked to me. They said, but when I came into your church, I mean, they were lined up. They just wanted to shake my hand. They just wanted to give me a hug. They just wanted to tell me how glad they were here, how glad they were that I was here. Now I want to tell you something. That ought to never change. It ought to never change. People in this wicked world are looking for somebody that will love them. Somebody that will take them just like they are and welcome them and try to help them. And I ask God, I said, please, 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 never let us get so big that we quit loving people, that we quit caring for people, that we quit making people feel welcome, and we line up to shake their hand, we line up to hug them. Our fellowship hasn't changed in 25 years. And then number 6, my last point, but of all the ones, this is probably the most important. Our message hasn't changed. Our message hasn't changed. 25 years ago, somebody stood in this pulpit and they said, on the first Sunday that this church met, I don't even know who, I think Brother Larimore, the associational missionary at the time, preached the first sermon in the church. But 25 years ago, somebody stood in this pulpit and he said, everybody's a sinner. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. 25 years ago, somebody stood in this pulpit and said, the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, to be separated from God. 25 years ago, somebody stood in this pulpit and said, but God so loved the world, sinners, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every week in the past 25 years, somebody stood in this pulpit. Most of the time it's been me, but somebody has stood in this pulpit and preached the same message. And I preach it again this morning. Everybody in this room is a sinner, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And there's a penalty for that sin. There's something we owe because we are sinners. The wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death. Sometimes sin brings physical death, but if it was just physical death and we died and that was it, it'd be something else. But that's not how it works. It's not how it works. Because there is a part of you that will never die. Never die. It's going to go into eternity. And it'll go one of two places. It'll go to be with God, or it'll go to a place that God is not. That's what the wages of sin is. To be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son. The musicians played, I believe, in a hill called Mount Calvary for our offertory. It talks about a place called Calvary, where on a cross, God allowed us to nail his Son, who came from heaven to live among us for 33 some years and was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. God allowed us to take Jesus Christ, nail him to a cross, and as he hung on that cross, God took every one of my sins. He took every one of your sins, and he laid them on his Son. And as Jesus died on the cross, he paid for every one of our sins. Everyone, everyone. Not one was left out. He paid for every one. And the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, because Jesus died, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the message that has been preached from this place for the past 25 years, that Jesus and his death on Calvary paid for every sin, paid to make you right with God, paid to give you a home in heaven. And if you'll come this morning, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you'll do what that little boy named Josh did in Sunday school. First time he was here, first time he rode our bus, and his Sunday school teacher took the Bible and showed him from the Bible that he was a sinner and he needed a Savior, and Jesus was the only one that worked. If you'll do the same thing that that little boy did in Sunday school this morning, you can change your eternal destination. You don't have to go to that place where God is not. you can go to the house of the Lord, that place that Jesus is preparing for those that have trusted him, that place called heaven that he talked about in John chapter 14, where he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And there is room in heaven for every single person. And the blood and the price that Jesus paid on Calvary covers every sin. Listen, it covers every sin. Down through the years, there's been people that have come through those doors and they said, preacher, you don't know me. I'm a bad sinner. I'm a big sinner. You don't know what I've done. And I've said to them on occasion, I know, and I don't need to know what you've done. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save him. And I don't know what you've done this morning. It doesn't matter. I know what Jesus did. And I know what he did is sufficient to pay for every one of your sins. And so if you're here this morning, I give the same invitation that's been given in this church for 25 years. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do that this morning? Would you just be willing to admit that you're a sinner too? Would you just believe what this book says, that there's a penalty for that sin? And would you do what that book tells us to do? Ask Jesus to save you. Again, I say often, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not even asking you to become a member of our church. Although I think being a Baptist and being a member of this church is a pretty good thing. But I'm not asking you that. This morning, the most important question is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Are you on your way to heaven? And if not, why don't you ask him to save you this morning? In fact, we'll help you. If you come, we're going to stand and sing in just a second. If you'll come, I'll have somebody take that Bible and they'll show you scripture, everything I've said, and they'll help you ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this occasion. Thank you for yet another opportunity to tell folks about Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, if there's just one or two here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that right where they sat, they would admit their sin. They would ask Jesus to save them. Father, if they need help doing that, help them to come in just a second when we sing. And we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to be saved. Father, for the many Christians that are here, help us to rejoice in the salvation that we have. Help us to be busy living that and telling others about our Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.